So my name is Alessandro. I'm a Microsoft MVP in virtualization, Hyper-V, if we say so, and an author. So I think you'll just notice I wrote that book. That's my third book. So this was launched 2 months ago. And I think it's the unique book on the marketing to talk about VMM, which is it's a really cool book. So let's talk about our presentation. So what could be today, so this all this conversation today we're going to talk is high availability. How can we provide high availability on our environment today? So what could be most of the outage that we have, like site outage, application failure, issues on the network, on the storage, how can we minimize all of this? So today the agenda will be how can we understanding all these scenarios and how can we prevent that. Can I just ask here, is anyone here already deployed Hyper-V? Can someone just tell me Hyper-V is running? So VMware? That's cool. Citrix? Good. I also have a really good presentation tomorrow that's going to actually talk about those three hypervisors. How can we manage and monitor those hypervisors? If you want to come, it would be great. So how can we prevent planned downtime and planned downtime and a disaster recovery? That's what I'm going to talk here today. Oh, sorry. So we have a data corruption, component failure, and application failure. We need to address all of those three if we want to provide high available scenario through 100%, where if something happens on the application or on the component, how can I address of this? So Microsoft does have technology to address all of each on each scenario. So let's start with planned downtime. So planned downtime means that I'm going, for example, shut down one machine, one physical machine running Hyper-V to do some updates, for example. New version, R2 just came, I have my cluster running 3, 4, 5, 7, 100s. I need to start the upgrade. So I need to shut down one, upgrade that, bring it back, things like this. Or maintenance, something, I need to change a disk, I need to add memory, anything. I already say, okay, I need to plan for this machine to be down. So I need to do this. So how can I, what technology does Microsoft provide for this? So as I just mentioned, because machine is running with something, I need to move all the workloads running on this machine to another server. So for this, we have something called live migration. Let's expect you have, for example, Exchange running on this machine, or a SQL database, or a SharePoint, or any other workload or website that is running on this machine, and you need to bring this machine down. So the good thing about the new version of 2012 and 2012 R2 is you don't need to have actually a cluster. You can have two standalone servers, and you can move the workload from this machine to this machine. And it's really easy. So I'm just going to stop this one here. I'm going to show, can we change to this one here? How can we change to the demo? Sorry. Number 2. Is this?
And then hit tick.
Cool. Then I need to look here because I... So I have here three servers. None of those three servers are on the cluster. I do not have a cluster here configured, so there is no cluster. Three standalone Hyper-V servers. I have some machines running. One you can see is my domain controller. Another one is a domain controller and kind of a router. I have a Windows Phone VM. As you can see the little image here, let's see if I can Let's see if I can open this one. I have a like a Windows Phone VM running. This is just for demo. I put some small machines so I can show. I have one machine here that's actually not supported. Okay, it's just for my demo. It's running Windows 98. Don't think I'm oldie. It's just because it's a small machine and I want to show live migration, how live migration works. So normally when someone do a demo for you, they just show, they create a virtual machine with nothing running and it shows live migration from one to another. So you actually can't see that there is a real live migration, the machine is still running, right? So what I'm gonna do here, I have a machine running DOS. Right? I think I have, please, this is not supported whatsoever by Microsoft. I just create, I don't know if everyone knows about this, I'm too old. I just create a loop here where it's just going to do a gear. Right? So if I just start this, it's just going to do this. Continue this. So we found that the machine is never going, this is not going ever to stop. What I'm going to do now is I need to put this machine here, which is running this. Let me put this on the really place here where we can still see. I tried to have both machines running on two screens, but we couldn't. Sorry. So you're gonna see like this. And what I'm going to do is, this is a planned failover, means I need to shut down that server one, but I have a workload running. I have some kind of process, in my case is a machine with something running. I need this machine to keep running. Imagine this could be an Exchange server, a SQL server, or any workload that you don't need to be, that cannot be stopped whatsoever, even a ping, nothing, zero loss. So I need to migrate this VM. What I'm doing is I just click on this machine here, and I click on move. When I click on move, the first thing it's gonna ask me is for where you want to move this machine. So just before we go, there's one thing that's going to happen, and before someone think, oh, he thought that it's not going to stop. Because I'm connected to the machine one, right? I am physical connected to the machine one, the machine two is there. When I actually perform the migration, there will be like a, there needs to be a change of screen, there'll be like a flash, you think that the machine stopped, but when it comes back, you'll see the process never stopped, okay? Just not to avoid something, So I can actually move the machine or machine storage. What's the difference between moving the machine or moving the storage? Sometimes I have a machine, as I just said, there's a standard machine, and it's not on the cluster. Or it's running on a drive C, and I want to move to a storage, or I need to move just the actually virtual machine, the data, the virtual hard disk to something else. You can still have, for example, my VM running here on this processor, but actually stored on another place, on another physical machine, for example, or on a file server, or on a physical storage. But I want to move everything because I'm shutting down this machine. So name, so let's move this to the second machine. So AU. So I'm moving this. Second thing he asked me is, do you want to move to a single location or do you want to have to different locations? Why is asking this? Because sometimes, and that's the recommendation as well, now I'm gonna do a tip here. When you have virtual machines, and I do recommend you to create one virtual hard disk for the OS, one virtual hard disk for your data. Okay, that's the best practice. And depending on how much memory you are going to allocate to this virtual machine, also I do recommend you to create another virtual hard disk just for the page file. That's the best practice. One for OS, one for the page file, another one for the actually data. So why I'm doing this? Because we're going to see later when I create the application, I don't need to migrate the page file. And I'm going to ask this why. Just think about why we don't need to migrate the page file. I want to ask this later. So let's move everything. Where do you want to move in which location, which folder? Let's say any folder, MS-DOS, for example. Done. Just starting. So you're going to see here, performing move. When this show, you see 50% is actually data, is the virtual hard disk. And after that is memory. So the machine, I didn't lose anything. So two physical, you can come here and see, that is, I brought even the switch, just to have everything here. I have a switch, I have one notebook, and I have another machine here on the floor. No, that is no storage, no cluster, just two physical servers, and I just did a migration, live migration. I did with this machine, could be any workload. I can shut down my machine now, my physical machine, because nothing happened. So that's what we can call a planned downtime. Okay? Easy. There is no magic here. It's really easy. Now to go back to number one, and ooh, I forgot the name. This? Oops. I don't think so. Sorry, I really miss where I need to put this one here. One. Guys, sorry, I need help here to bring the so number two, good. Layer. Which one should I press? Yeah, all good?
That one. Just the
tape. Okay, cool. So live migration, everyone understood, right? I did this demo on two standard virtual machines. Because then I think it's better for you to understand that you don't need the storage, you don't need a shared storage, you don't need a cluster. But that is going to work easily if you have a cluster and a shared storage. Actually, if you have a shared storage, it's going to be fast. Okay, let's go. So that's the complete VM mobility, right? So I can live migrate from cluster, I can live migrate between storage. That's another planned downtime. I just brought another storage, a new one, and I need to deploy. And that's a common scenario. I remember last December, I was working on a customer. He bought a new storage, and he was running Windows 2008 R2 with Hyper-V. So all the VMs, how can we actually move all the VMs from this to a new storage? There was no way. So now, live, you can do this. So, sorry, it was running Windows 2008. So now with 2012, I can just move all the virtual hard disks from one storage location to another storage location with no downtime, okay? It's exactly the way I showed. Instead of just going to virtual machine, it's virtual machine storage, meaning you're just moving the data. Okay. So this is, I already showed this, how it works. So that is how it works. So first they migrate the data, the virtual hard disk. When it gets to 50% on that small screen, it's memory. So it's easy for you to actually understand if there is any issue. If there is actually before the 50%, you know that some issues probably accessing the data, virtual hard disk. If it's up after 50%, it's something on the memory. I'm just going past this, going to the next one. So the default live migration, the default number of live migration is 2. But actually, there is no limit. And now I'm going to talk here about networking. setting up network is the most important thing on a virtualization environment. When you're actually going to buy your physical machines, please make sure you do correctly set up the number of network cards and how you want the machine to perform. I'll give you an example. Today, who is on a 1 giga network here? Who is on 10 giga? I'll give you an example. Windows 2008 R2 cannot in any way saturate a 10 giga network. That is no way. It's a limitation on the OS. Windows 2012, 10 giga is nothing. Why I'm saying this? Because when I told that the live migration is unlimited, it is. It actually depends on your network. So if you have a 1 giga network, probably 1-2 live migrations at the same time. If you have a 10 giga network, more. If you have 2 10 giga networks combined on a NIC team, which means 20, means more live migrations at the same time. So what I'm saying this is, if you have a critical server running, for example, Link, Exchange, SQL, something that is critical for your business, I do recommend a 10 giga network and a team network. So who understand the concept of converged networks? Everyone understand what converged network is? Does anyone here doesn't know? Do I need to explain? Happy to do this. No, everyone understand converged networks? Everyone is shy to say. I'm just going to say anyway. So converged networks is the new concept on Windows 2012. So what does it mean? Is before, and I wrote a lot of articles about this as well, is with Windows 2008 R2, we used to recommend like 7 physical NICs per Hyper-V server. Okay? Why? One for the cluster, one for the live migration, one for, like, 2 for the VMs to have high availability, cluster, 2 for storage, and there you go. With the concept of converged networks, we don't need this number anymore. We can, for example, and that's my recommendation here, is at least 4. 2 for storage and 2 for everything else. And on this scenario, we need to have a 10 giga network because you're going to team both NICs and then you're going to create something what we call virtual NICs inside of those 2 NICs. I'll do a little show on this. Means I can create how many virtual NICs I need. And this will provide high availability because I combine the 2. If one is down, I still have the other one. But please don't try this on 1 giga network. Okay? This is for 10 giga network minimal. You can have 10 giga network. You see a lot of articles about this. Only 2 10 giga networks. Why I do not recommend this? So I actually work on many customers in many projects. And I see that when we have a production environment with machines like Exchange, Link, SharePoint, which is vital for the customer, it's crucial for the business. It's really important to have some kind of good, able to live migrate all VMs that's running on that machine if we need to do like a planned or unplanned failover. It's important to have really dedicated connection for the live migration. Okay? So that's parallel migrations. This is a 32 example of doing a 32 VMs. So from 1 to 3, 32. See the time is the same? Yeah, it just depends on the bandwidth that you have. Okay, another thing we have now, it's called dynamic optimization, and how can I minimize the costs and saving power from my machines. So if we have a cluster of Hyper-V, and that cluster is managed by System Center, and I have, let's say, 10 physical servers, And that's normal. I saw a lot of customers doing this. They buy like 5 physical servers, put this on the cluster, and have like 10 virtual machines and think that it's, they need that. So what's good about System Center managing Hyper-V in that case is System Center will look of the number of servers that you have and the performance of the virtual machine. And you understand, okay, you have 10 virtual machines, just an example, but you have 5 servers or 3 servers, but actually you only need 2 running. What System Center will do is, will System Center will shut down the servers that they don't need, will live migrate, first of course, will live migrate all the VMs to those 2 servers or 3, whatever the number, and will shut down the others that don't need. Let's say in case you need, one of the machines start asking for power and you don't need, System Center will power on the machine. And you, again, will live migrate back the machine. Okay, that is real, it's possible. You need for this VMM and Operations Manager. Okay, you need those 2 components to monitor this. Hardware, you need a machine that does support BMC. Most of the vendors, HP, Dell, IBM, most of the vendors, those support BMC. You just need this. Power on, power off. System Center will take care of this. Okay. So zero downtime with automated patching. So we have on our cluster now, we have something called cluster updated, meaning that or by using System Center or going directly to the cluster, you just can say, okay, I need to update my cluster. I need to update this machine. So the cluster will update the machine, but before we live migrate all the VMs from that machine to another one, we update the machine, reboot the machine, and add to the cluster. If you guys do remember here on Windows 2008 R2, we had to remove the machine from the cluster, update the machine, upgrade, or something like this, and then put the machine back to the cluster just to avoid any complaints on SCUM or anything like this, complaining the machine is not running or there is a downtime or things like this. So now it's everything automated by System Center, or you can just go to the cluster. So storage migration, I did mention already of this. You can migrate from one storage, one physical to another. But that is one thing that is very good with Windows 2012, which is called OGX. Does anyone here know what OGX means? So I'll give you an example. I'm here in New Zealand, and let's say I'm in the Insight office working on my administration console, and I need to live migration one machine, and my data center is, for example, one in Wellington, another one in Sydney. So I need to live migrate, but I'm here in Auckland. I have one server in Wellington, I have another server in Sydney. So when I do start the migration from here, what's happening? On previous version, the data will be copied to this location and then from here to Sydney. I don't want this. And worst, let's say I have 2 servers in Wellington. I need to migrate a data from one server to another, but I'm doing from here, from Auckland. Again, there will be a problem. The data will come here to go to the other. That's bad. So if we have a storage, in this case, this you need to go to your vendor, and if the storage does support OGX, Windows just say to the storage, I need to move a VM from this to this location. Even if it's a different LAN, Windows do nothing. Windows just say to the storage, please do the job. So that's that meaning everything will be quick. Okay, so the storage needs support OGX. You need to go to your vendor and say, does my storage does support OGX? That's important because the speed of the migration, it's really quick. Even if you need to move from one LAN to another LAN, that's amazing. Let's pass over this. So unplanned downtime. Let's say, I think the better example of this is Brisbane, right? So we have the flood. I think here we have some kind of issues. I don't remember the name of the city. There was, There was one problem with one city here, right? The Terremo? Yeah. So let's say if that's unplanned. We're never going to find out. Sorry, my bad. That's going to happen. The same thing in Brisbane, that we never know that things, some things like this are going to happen. Right? We're not prepared for this. So we need the GR solution. How can we prepare for this? So in this case, the solution is Hyper-V replica. I think if someone here went to the Ben Armstrong session, I think yesterday, he did talk about Hyper-V replica. Hyper-V replica is the way to do a GR solution. I have in one city or even in one location, one server or a cluster, and I have my GR on one location. What I normally do when I want run projects is, for example, I have like a cluster of, let's say, SMB customers. I have three, four machines, physical machines running Hyper-V here with all my workloads, and I have just one powerful machine on my GR. Why I say one powerful? Because you need the same amount of memory here that is combined by all of those. Or at least you need the memory here that will support the production, because even though if you have four or five servers, none of them are actually full production. Some of them will not. Some are critical and you need to have running here. So what we can do if, let's do this, just go here. Sorry, one second. Come on. What I can do is have my four servers here. In this case, it's showing two. Actually, it will always depend on your environment. You need to understand that if you have four physical servers here and two physical servers here, these two physical servers need to support those four. Okay? So normally what we have is I just go to a virtual machine here and say, I want this virtual machine to replicate to that site. If something happens, I want this to please come up. Number two. God, let me just go back here. So I have one machine here running one VM, this one, this server, and I have another one here which does have nothing now. One thing we need to understand is Hyper-V1 is running Windows 2012. Number one and number three is running Windows 2012 R2. And if you guys went to Ben Armstrong yesterday, he did mention if you have 2012 R2 and 2012, what's happened? I can only do from 2012 to 2012 R2, but I can't do from 2012 R2 to 2012. Which makes sense, because when we're going to deploy that kind of scenario today, you already have 2012, for example, you need to upgrade your GR first. After you upgrade your GR, then you actually upgrade your production. Let's just go back here. So in this case, if I go here to my Hyper-V settings, come on, where is the mouse? So this is how I enable the replication. I need to do this in every server, okay? Every server, I need to enable the replication. Here it says I'm gonna use HTTP. It means both site one and GR or production NGR needs to be on the same domain, or needs to have a trust between them. If I want to go with HTTPS, it means I need to buy a certificate from both servers and install the certificate on both servers. So this is the second one is where I'm going to store the data. So I just create a folder called replica, which means every time on my production, say I want this machine to replicate to my GR, I want that machine to be stored on that folder. So this is how to set up. I enable this. It does mean that it's done? No. This means that you just enable the replica. It doesn't mean anything else. You actually need to go to the virtual machine. Let me just stop this thing here. Cool. So you need to go to the virtual machine, right click, and go enable replication. So my virtual machine is running, okay? I'm on the production environment, my machine is running, I want to enable the replication. Let's see, if someone answered the phone, the question that I'm gonna ask, I'm gonna give away one copy of my book. So I'm gonna replicate this to this server. I hope there is memory there. Okay, so it just asked me how you want to enable the application, because I did set up the server to use Kerberos, so it just, next. Here, remember when we were talking about, and I said, you need to have a virtual machine running with a page file, OS, and data? So why we need a page file when I'm doing a GR solution? Does anyone here know why I don't need a page file to be on my GR? Exactly, so good. Let me give you my book. So, thank you. Okay, so when you start the virtual machine, doesn't matter if this is on the GR site or is on a production, it is going to create the page file anyway. So why, example, I have a customer that has a virtual machine with 128 giga. Why I need to replicate 128 giga under the one? That's just waste of time, just waste of bandwidth. I don't need this. I don't need to keep replicating something that either way are going to be created when I start my virtual machine. Right? So in this case, because it's just a demo, I just create this. Recovery points. This means how many recovery points you want. One example, please, if there is any developer here, don't get mad, I was a developer before. Let's say you have a developer and you have a website running and he screw up the application. He doesn't know when he did this, but it was like 4 hours ago or 3 hours ago, he doesn't know. If we have, please again, apologize if there is any developer here. So if we have additional recovery points, let's say every 4 hours, it means that I can recover now, 4 hours ago, 8 hours ago, 16 hours ago, and how many recovery points I was able to create. One thing to remember here is that's fine to create how many recovery points you want, but it will need storage. And we're talking here about your GR. You need storage on your GR. So not only you need a machine with memory and CPU, you also need storage if you want to start this. This is not a backup solution. This is not a failover solution, okay? Not. Hyper-V replica is a GR solution, not a backup, not a failover solution. When I mean failover, it doesn't mean that, just burn out my production, there is an earthquake, flood, whatever. This, it's a manual process, and I really hope that everyone understands that it's a GR. We just don't need the spec that oh, something happened here. I just want to, the other one to start like this. There is a solution for this. That is, I have involved in so many GR solutions, even VMware, Citrix, Microsoft. I really don't believe on such of things like doing this on a GR. Could be something that happens here, like something on the network, and because it was like 2-3 minutes, you already started your GR. So I really prefer something that I can do start manually. So how can I send the data to the network? So you can send the initial data to the network, which please don't, unless it's a small machine. So if a big machine, my recommendation is start this on a USB or another thing and send this to your DR site and then just attach. And you can do those the difference. And then finish and there you go. I hope it works. Okay, so I did enable the replication. Now it's done. Yes, now it's done. Now it means that I have on my server one, that machine here, it's off. The other good news is, because the machine is off, I don't need to pay license for this. From the license point of view, all good. Because the only machine that's running is on production. And we are here talking about a GR. When I start this machine, what's happening with my production? Off, correct? Okay, let's see, I want to do a planned file over. I want to check if everything is okay. And that's the beauty of the Hyper-V replica, is actually when we have a GR solution, we have the contract and everything, someone came, set up your GR for you. How many times did you actually test your GR solution? How many times we check if everything is running? Probably never, just when it's set up and then that's it. With the Hyper-V replica, you actually can do this every minute, maybe every 30 seconds. You can do this how many times you want. You can check if your GR solution is working, how many times you need. I'm gonna do something here. I really hope you guys understand. So I'm on this one here, replication. First, let's see the replication health. Say, oh, all good, the replication is working fine, right? And something happens. I want you just to check if it's really working. So let's do a planned file over. I'm saying, look, my GR site is working fine, my production site is working fine. I want to swap everything that is running on the production to the file over. Let's see what's going to happen here. I'm just going to do one thing here so you can see. That machine is running, right? I am on my production. Production is running. I did set up a GR. I want to do a planned file over. Planned means this is not a cluster, this is a GR. What's going to happen? It fails. Why? Does anyone here know why it did fail? Come on. The what? Yeah, the machine is running. Again, this is not a cluster, this is a GR. So for the GR to work, the production should be off for me to actually do. So if I go here now, cancel this. Okay, this machine is running. Just double check again. This machine is not, right? So let's come here and say, please, stop this machine. I'm going to turn off this. And actually, let's do a planned file over. Oh. Now it's okay. So let's see what happened here. Oh, you should be running. Because there is no OS on this machine, that's why it's not running. So when I do, there is nothing running, that's why. So when I do the planet file over, this machine will start. Okay, if you have something running, this machine has nothing, it's empty. Another thing I can do, I can come here, let's do this. Oh, sorry. Let's shut down this. And let's say I need to test, because that was a planet file over. But I just want to test. I want to double check if, let's start this machine back. Oh, God, seriously? I file over to the other one. I don't think it's going to work. It's running the different version, yeah. Seriously? Let's do this, easy. Okay, so I have one, let me enable again. Oh. So now I have the machine here. The difficulty here for me is that I'm running two different versions of Windows. That is the... Okay, so I can come to my GR site. So remember, Hyper-V1 on this case is my production, and my GR site is running is the Hyper one. I want to check if the GR is actually working instead of doing a planet file over. You can just come here and test. What is going to ask you is which recovery point you want to actually check. Remember when I say we can create recovery points? So you can use any of the recovery points. You can just here test file over. What this is going to do is this is going to create a copy of a virtual machine for you. Can you see here? Just created a copy of the virtual machine. And you can just start the virtual machine and double check if everything is okay. So I have two recommendations here and two things that you need to think about GR solution, because GR solution is not only about this. There are two things to consider. So on my production environment, the IP is 10 something, okay? The IP for this machine was 10.1.1.3. On my GR site, the IP is another one, is 192 something, so two different subnets. How can I deal with this? Because I actually need, when I have the file over, for me, means like 3, 4, 5 minutes of downtime. That's the expectation with Hyper-V replica, right? Let's say 5 minutes downtime is the time that you really recognize there was an issue. Flood, earthquake, whatever, something happens, and you need to start everything on your GR site. So, but the time I start everything on my GR site, I don't want to go to every virtual machine and change the IP. We're not talking here about one VM, two. We talk about probably 30, 40, hundreds of VMs, right? I don't want to go machine by machine and actually change the IPs. So there are two ways to do this. So one way to do this, if we look at the virtual machine here on the settings, on the settings of the virtual machine, you have the possibility to say, hey, if there is a failover, change the IP of this virtual machine. Okay? So it means if the machine IP is 10 something, when you get to the other one, it will be 192.172, whatever the IP you want to have. But with this solution, we still have one issue. Can someone point me what's the issue? Exactly. I did change the IP, but how about my GNS server? I need to update my GNS server. So the solution here, unfortunately, is manual. Means you need to refresh the GNS manually. So I really don't like this solution. But it's one solution. Second solution, it's more complicated to install, but it's the better solution. For the second solution, and I don't think anyone that did mention, I can't see people mentioning this, is actually using System Center and something that we call network virtualization. So with network virtualization, doesn't matter the IP of the virtual machine, because on the same host, I can actually have 10 virtual machines with the same IP. Means on my GR site, I don't care about the IP of the physical servers. What is important for me is the IP of the virtual machine, which I'm moving here to here, will keep the same IP. I don't need to update GNS servers. I don't need to do anything. Keep the same IP, everything working, all the firewall rules, everything on your software. Sometimes developers, sorry, apologize again, create codes instead of having URLs. They have IPs, which is crazy, because the time you actually change the IP on this screen, you actually need to update your code as well. So I think network virtualization is the, so like when I say enterprise solution, it's the real final solution for this. You need to have System Center VMM, and you have need to have network virtualization to this. Okay, I'm not going to go deep on this. If you really want to talk about this offline, please just find me. I'll be here anywhere. I'm happy to discuss this. This is actually the better solution, is to have VMM and to have network virtualization. You can keep the same IP, nothing changed. It's a real solution. So let's, oh, that was easy. So, multi-site clustering, there is another solution. You can have this, site A and site B on the same cluster, and even replicate the storage from one to another. There are some vendors that actually does offer a storage application from one site to another, or you can actually have one storage shared by both sites. If you want to go for this, you actually need to have the same network on both. Okay. One more thing here. When we talk about network virtualization, that's on the VM layer, not on the physical layer. Okay? I can have hundreds of VMs on the same Hyper-V server or cluster with the same IP. I can have 20 virtual machines with the IP 10.1.1.1. There'll be no conflict whatsoever. No conflict. That's going to work. Beautiful. Don't even think about having the same IP. I'm going very slow here. To have the same IP on the physical servers. That is going to make your switch crazy. And the network guy is going to be very mad with you, your boss, your director, and everyone, because the company will just stop. Nothing will work because you have 2, 3, probably more machines with the same IP. Okay? We're talking about here on the virtual environment, on your virtual machines, not on your physical layer. Please remember this. Alessandro told that I can have the same IP on the virtual machines, not on the Hyper-V servers. Yeah, this is a recovery solution. So here is showing Hyper-V replica like 5 minutes. This is because it's just the time that you're going to find out that everything is down and you need to start on the other side, okay? That's really reasonable to have GR solution with 5 minutes. Years ago, if you showed me this, I would say, you have no idea, that's never going to work. That's impossible, because normally, and I see on some SLA contracts, it's like 4 hours, 1 day, right? It's not normal. This is really good to have in just 5 minutes. That's incredible. And better, you can test this how many times you need. This is a GR solution. This is a cluster. So if you see here, I put something depending on third-party replication solutions. You need that, like storage replication from one site to another, things like this. Oops, wrong one. So I just want to summarize here how and which features we actually have on Windows. I know that most of you are here with VMware. So I hope you migrate to Windows quick. I do have Hyper-V and VMware customers, and I do have both on my environment. I really think that today, it's really, on an enterprise environment, it's really difficult to find just one hypervisor. But in saying that, I think if we standard the hypervisor, and there is the solution is so easy to maintain, so easy to monitor. One of the things that I really like on Microsoft solution now on the framework is I have my on-prem solution, my data center with 5, 10 servers, whatever the number of the servers, and I have a cloud provider, and I have Azure. So I have those three, and we know that normally the life cycle of a machine, a physical machine, is like 3. Some companies do work on a 5 years, but let's say the 5 years come or 3 years come, and you have a decision to buy another hardware and install Hyper-V, or you just think of maybe a cloud could be a solution. Then you have two partners here. You can go to a cloud partner provider, or you can go to Microsoft Azure. And then you think, okay, I want to do this, but today I can ping all my VMs, they are on all my environment, I have no issue. If I migrate to the cloud, what's happening? I still want that machine to be on the same network, on the same IP. How can I do this? How can I actually move back if I decide that cloud is not the solution, or actually there's 3 years period for these two machines, but I have 2 or 3 other that in the next few months the life cycle is ending and I want to move to the cloud. How can I do this quick, and how can I do this seamlessly for the end user or for the director? They don't even know where the Exchange or SharePoint is running. And that's the beauty of the Microsoft solution, is that you can actually migrate our one workload, doesn't matter what is running on that workload, even Linux, from on-prem to your cloud provider to Azure, and keep the same IP of the virtual machine and everything connected. You actually, if you are the end user, would actually even know where the workload is running. If it's running on a solution provider, if it's running on-prem, or if it's running on Azure. You can do this today. I'm not saying that it's pretty easy to do this. It's not. But it's possible. It's reality. You can do this. You need System Center and you need Windows. So two things that probably most of you already have. And you also need an account with Azure. And you probably need an account with a provider that does support Microsoft solution. Right? They need to offer you the Hyper-V solution, the System Center solution. They need to offer you this. They need to offer you what we call the gateway, so you can actually have your gateway on-prem if you want to do what we call hybrid solution. So if they do offer you this solution, and some providers do offer this, that is just amazing. You can migrate. I do this. I live migrate VMs from on-prem to our data center and to Azure. And user doesn't even know where it is. It's just crazy. Years ago, I didn't think that was even possible to think about something like this. So I can live migrate a machine from on-premise to the cloud and still have, keep the same IP. I can ping the VMs. It's running fine. I have my Active Directory running on the cloud. On-prem, that is nothing. I was like, that is crazy. No, it's the same IP, same network, everything is running. Some customers I'm doing projects, they say, you need one machine? Cloud. So it's just something that you need to start thinking, and that's the beauty of having one standard hypervisor, is that I can actually do this. But if thinking on a mixed environment, you can manage, yes, you still can manage through VMM, you still can manage VMware, you still can manage Citrix, but you can't do this. You can't just move. That's the mobility thing. It's just crazy. You cannot just move a VM from one place to another if it's running on a different hypervisor. So that's my really tip here, is to try to think about this. I do recommend you, the VMware guys here, to think about the Microsoft solution. It is really a great platform. I'm not going to talk here about marketing or competing numbers of features from one to another. I think today if they are really similar on features, one will have one thing that the other doesn't have, the other one will have another one that doesn't have. At the end of the day, I truly believe that the management piece is actually what is dictating which one you should go. And I really love System Center. It's the piece of software that I can't, someone ask me because I love that. That's why I wrote the book about System Center. I think that's a really good software and it helps you manage your environment really good. So is that anyone has any questions or anything? Oh, I came the wrong. Any questions?
Sure.
Yep. What kind of flexibility you have when you have three or two hypervisors, for example? And you think, don't keep everything on the same one. If you have different Hyper-V servers, just keep your VMs running on different servers. If you have different, multiple hypervisors, I don't think it's bad. I just think that you lose the mobility. It's just this. And it keeps adding more complexity to your environment. You need to have people that do know VMware, people do know Citrix, people that does know Microsoft. So you end up with a lot of skills that you need on-prem. It's just that kind of complexity that you need to think, if I add that complexity to have many hypervisors on-prem and lose the mobility, is that a payoff to have one standard? Is this that you need to consider? I really think that standardizing the hypervisor is the way to go because of the mobility. I really love the mobility because today, investing on hardware is very difficult. Going to your director or to the board to say, I need that amount of money to buy a new storage, to buy hardware, and this is CapEx. And I go to the cloud and say, I just need this to run that particular VM. I have a customer in Sydney, and that's interesting. They have, between November and January, they need to power up a lot of virtual machines to run websites because of their work, Christmas, and they sell things on the website. So they just need this between November and December, but they have a huge data center with a lot of servers. Between January and November, they have updated the code, so they need to go on every server and update the code. So if they have the situation with System Center and a template, for example, or a cloud provider, they can fire up some of the VMs. Between November and December, that's the project that was working for him. Say, get rid of these physical machines. Get rid of these things that you have hundreds of physical servers here. just have 3-4 physical servers on-prem, and between November and December, that where you need, fire up this on the cloud, because you just pay as you go. When comes December, off, you don't need this anymore. When November comes again, fire up the template, the updated one, back to the cloud. Ask them to replicate this to create how many you need. You just pay for that. You don't need to keep the physical machine off on the floor doing nothing for, what, 7 months, 8 months? That's a waste of money. This is just one example, but I'm pretty sure everyone here will have their own example. This is the examples that I find when I go to customers, but many more. I just think that a combination of having cloud, on-prem, it's really good. And having many hypervisors won't help. Okay? Any more questions? I think I finished earlier.